Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Mark.
I'm so excited for your happy, happy Danish holiday.
Well, there'll be no parades for me today. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. A little bit too much Irish swarming me this day.
You live in Cranford, New Jersey, man. There's a lot of Irish going on there.
Too much. My little French-Italian wasp on my wife's side, daughter, all wearing green this morning, going, "Hi, Begora."
She doesn't even know what Begora means. That's what you get for living in New Jersey. Okay. First item in the news today. This, I think, is pretty darn interesting. This is from Reuters. Movie theater owners faced with falling attendance are considering asking federal authorities for permission to jam cell phone reception in an attempt to stop annoying conversations during films, the head of the industry's trade group said on Tuesday. Cool.
Do you ever wonder what we did before there were cell phones? Did doctors go to the movies? Were they allowed to go to the movies?
But you know, I think that it's well, hold on a second.
Here, did 17-year-olds possibly wander off of school property for even a moment?
Let me get this out. I don't know what's going on with consumers that they have to talk in the middle of a movie, said John Fithian, president of the National Association of Theater Owners. We'll actually petition the Federal Communications Commission to remove the block on jamming cell phones for this application. I know, and why this is relevant to restaurants, is I know restaurateurs who put in a mesh in the ceiling mm-hmm. in an attempt to inhibit cell phone reception in the restaurant.
Right.
Now, that's a little dicey. The guy I know that does this, and who shall remain nameless, his coat check will monitor your cell phone and come and get you if you need to answer it. If you're a doctor, if you've got a kid at home, mm-hmm. if you've got a sick parent. And so, you know, while blocking cell phones surreptitiously is probably not the best idea.
Listen, when I was a kid, if you needed to get in touch with your parents while they were out at a restaurant, your parents left the phone number of the restaurant, and you called the restaurant. And mm-hmm. the restaurant said, "Emergency, Mr. So-and-so, your house is on fire."
I'm amazed at the people who will just whip out a cell phone and start talking in the middle of a dining room.
I've talked to you about this before. One of the things that amazes me, and it's a whole culture now, and it's not going the right way. Our employees, okay, mm-hmm. in Catherine Lombardi one night, were sitting upstairs, five of them around a little table after work, and they weren't talking on their cell phones, but they all had them out in hopes that they would either ring and they could leave and answer the phone or receive a text message. So
get a call from somebody better.
Get a call from somebody better. Yeah. Okay. Like whenever the cell phone is out, it's like you're waiting for something better to happen.
Yeah, but
I'm talking to you, but
hopefully somebody better will call.
Something better is going to happen soon.
Look, I don't care.
You're horribly boring.
I don't care about any of that. I don't hang out with people like that. But I mean, I do, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying that your point is completely valid. But
thank you for that.
I'm sorry.
I feel so much better.
But here's the true test of it. In restaurants, as we've discussed, and as this is coming in the news again, we had an incident a couple of months back that just shocked me. I mean, really shocked me.
And you're not easily shocked.
And I am not easily shocked. Folks came into the restaurant, and they opened up a laptop computer.
I remember these guys.
Which is sort of mildly rude anyway. I mean, you got classical guitar music playing. You mm-hmm. got a vibe going on. You got the fireplace happening.
Right.
It's, you know, you're typing away on your computer, and you get that blue, like, there's a shadow of you from that blue glow you get from your screen.
Listen, I don't want to eat at my desk for the exact same reason, because I don't want to hear the clickety-clack of your computer.
And I don't want to sit next to your desk.
Right, right, and the blue hue of
So I was talking to the maitre d', and I thought, you know, you got to go over there and, you know, say something. When I realized that they're not doing work, They're playing a movie.
No clickety-clack at all.
No headphones, and the credits to a movie begin to roll in the dining room. And what amazes me is I went over enough of the music. I went over to the table, and Brian went over to the table and said...
A long time ago in a land far away.
Said, excuse me, could you... turn that off. And they said, well, no, we're watching a movie. And Brian said, well, you can't watch a movie in the dining room.
Dinner and a movie, whole different concept.
Yeah, yeah, in your house. It's great. So they were really mad.
Yeah.
And we happened to have a private room open, and I had walked out. I'd left. I'd gone to the other restaurant. And Brian said, listen, I have the private room we're not using tonight. I'll put you in the private room. You can watch your movie. It was a Sunday night. Because I wouldn't have done it. And I appreciate it.
Sorry, all you moviegoer restaurant people.
There'll be a charge for that.
Want to do it at the same time. No.
Anyway, so there's a new level of rudeness there I thought was really great. But I think that the theater owners are going to be applying to the FCC to be able to block cell phones. I don't know that that's a great idea, but I'm always amazed by people taking over my dinner.
I'm going to say one more time. People in restaurants, I want to make you as happy as I can make you. I want to say yes to every single question you ask me, if it's at all possible. But you can't impinge upon the other diners around you.
Right. That's
or I must step in. That's my job as the maitre d', as the owner of the restaurant, to make sure that you're not impinging on somebody else's dining experience.
But that's the hardest, and that's why cell phones present the restaurateur with the mm-hmm. the greatest quandary, because that I can figure out a way to make almost anything happen that you want to happen.
Right.
But when you put me in a situation that saying yes to you doesn't inconvenience me, it inconveniences the people in the dining room with you.
Correct. You can inconvenience me all you want. You can't inconvenience the other diners.
And that's why we have private rooms, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you're not in a private room, if you're in a dining room with someone else, that really presents a problem. And I think there's an appropriate way to use a cell phone, mm-hmm. though. I mean, if your cell phone is on vibrate, it rings, you take a call, you pick it out of your pocket, you say, hello, okay, the kid's sick, I got to come home, great. You hang it up and you go. Mm-hmm. That's an entirely different thing.
It is an entirely different thing. And I think that's part of it. That there needs to be, maybe it doesn't need to be black and white. Maybe there needs to be some kind of compromise in the middle. But anytime it's a rule is not black and white like that,
well,
you have issues with people overstepping.
And what we do, and I know that a lot of restaurateurs have emailed in about with questions about this very thing to us at restaurantguysradio.com. What we have on our menus, it says, please refrain from using cell phones in the dining room.
Right.
And that way, you know, if someone's really discreet about it, we don't say anything. But if someone whips out their phone and starts talking to their Aunt Sally about the salad, we go over and say, you know, excuse me, would you mind coming into the bar
room? You'll never believe where I am right now!
And that's a quote. But if you have it on the menu and you have it as a black and white rule, you can cut somebody a break and enforce it when it becomes onerous.
Sure.
We have coming up with us after in the next segment, Rick Tremonto from True Restaurant in Chicago, one of the best chefs in America. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And our guest today is Rick Tremonto. Rick is one of the most prominent chefs in the United States. He's also author of several books. He's cooked to great acclaim in New York, Europe, and Chicago, where he wears many toques, including the toque at True Restaurant, where he is a chef partner. True is one of the top restaurants in the country. And last night was nominated for an Outstanding Service Award by the James Beard Foundation. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Hey, Rick. How are you? Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I love
the conversation with the cell phone. I mean, the whole balance of what you guys were talking about, it's so true. All of it is, you know, I never mind anybody. We have that on our menu, you know. No cell phones or be discreet. And the whole, like, you know, if you need to make a call home quietly, peacefully, and check on your kids or the sitter, it's, you know, it's never a problem. But the people that want to have these loud and, you know, and I never could understand, like, if you're going to do it, why do you have to engage the other three tables around you? Why does it have to be such such a loud conversation.
I don't get it myself either. But it is. There are people who come to the restaurant, and you know, you're a destination restaurant in the country. Do you find that people come there and they sort of call their friends from the table and discuss the dinner they're having? Because once in a blue moon, I'll get that. They'll say, oh, and now they're bringing out the foie gras. I'm like, put the phone down, eat the foie gras.
I guess, I've seen it a few times, but not as much as just the, you know, just the casual call. I mean, it's just strange. I mean, we have a lot of, we're right in Streeterville, which is right across from Northwestern Hospital. So we get a lot of doctors and lawyers and surgeons and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they're all so cool about it. I mean, they all excuse themselves from the table. Most of their phones are on vibrate. They go into the bar. They have their little quiet conversation, and they come back and they continue dinner. Or, you know, somebody will get up and they'll go out to the bar and they'll check on their babysitter and they'll come back and they'll finish dinner. But, you know, it's, you know, a couple times a month you get the person that, you know, right, the bizarre ring in the middle of the dining room. And it just doesn't faze them. It's like this bizarre ring, like the Star Wars
thing. Right, right. Madam Butterfly.
It's like no big deal, and you're so embarrassed for them all of a sudden. And they pick up the phone, oh, hi, how you doing? And you can tell they're saying, you know, what are you doing? Oh, I'm having dinner, you know.
What are you doing?
You've got to be kidding me.
I've often wanted to go up. I can be a little snide, and I'm never really snide with the customers, but you do have fantasies in the back of your head. And I've always wanted to just write on a little piece of paper, and fold it up and hand it to them.
Well, you're a better man than I, because, you know, I have the fantasy of going up to the cell phone and just breaking it in half, walking away.
I think we're all talking, you know, 98% of the people who come into restaurants and are using their cell phones are using them appropriately, and like you said, they're excusing themselves and they're moving into the bar area or into the foyer or even frequently out of the restaurant. But I'm just reminded of one experience a few years ago, as cell phones were really becoming popular, where a gentleman excused himself from his table and then he went over and stood in another part of the dining room and stood over somebody else's table and had his conversation.
Unbelievable.
And I thought,
I don't want to disturb my guests, but I don't know these people.
And like you were saying before, as far as, you know, as long as you're not, I know, I will do anything for you. Our philosophy at True is always cherish the customer, meet every need, do everything you can. And, you know, usually when you use the word but, it erases everything you just said before. But in this one case, we will do everything we can, but unless it starts to affect the rest of the dining room.
Yeah,
it starts to affect somebody else's experience that waited 6 weeks to get in to have dinner. And, you know, you're bumming them out.
You know, it's funny. When you talk about service, I hope that you'll agree that I think the idea is you're trying to set up the systems so that you can say yes as much as possible. If there's something that leads to a recurring no
Absolutely.
Answer, you change the system. Mm-hmm. And you train your staff, especially your higher-level staff like your maitre d', to figure out how to say yes.
Absolutely.
But the one thing, that's where you put the real service professional in. It's uncomfortable. It's physically uncomfortable when I have to go up to somebody and say, okay, listen, you got to stop that.
Right.
But
your child can't run around circles around the table anymore.
Snap.
Right. You know, I wish I could tell you a few name a few names and tell you a few stories, but I got to tell you this one story, but I can't give up the name.
Okay, that's fair enough. We'll take it.
But we had this celebrity in the restaurant once that came in, and they brought their kid with them, and it was so funny that you were saying the story, because the husband and the wife sat at the table. And they had this, you know, long, drawn-out dinner, you know, like a 10-course, 12-course, 3-hour gig. And, you know, the daughter sat there and played video games the whole time at the table. And at the loudest point of the video game volume that could be, you know, playing some kind of video game. And, you know, she had a glass of milk, and she didn't, you know, had a little fruit, and she wasn't eating. But that the parents were so comfortable being in this, you know, this environment or this experience with all these other people around them, disturbing all these other people,
it's
really difficult for my staff on how to handle it and not be rude and say, you know, go up to them and you say, excuse me, but this, you know, we can't have this and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you start to walk on eggshells constantly to not offend, but yet you're offending the rest of the room in trying to sacrifice this one table. I'd rather not have the one table.
Mm-hmm. So how did you handle it?
Say that again.
How did your staff handle that situation?
My staff was amazing. My staff was incredibly gracious. You know, they went up and they excused themselves. They asked the celebrity to come come into the bar for a second, and they had the conversation with them, and the celebrity wasn't applying anything, just going back to the table, telling the daughter to turn it off. You know, she would turn it off for a little while, and it would come back on and turn it off for a little while. So it was the game. You know, we call it the game. You know, they played the game until they got through their experience. You know, and it was difficult. You know, we ended up sending out some extra desserts and trying to comfort some of the tables around them that were aggravated. But some of the tables were in awe of who it was, so it helped a little bit. But it was still an uncomfortable situation. Sometimes it becomes a lose-lose. You just got to kind of grin it and get through it, you know.
It's very difficult to tell someone they're being rude without being rude.
Right. Why is that?
I had one table one time a long time ago say, that table over there, we'd like to buy them desserts at a different restaurant. And I said, I can't deliver that message, but I appreciate the sentiment. We're talking with Rick Tremonto of True Restaurant in Chicago. We'll be talking more with him in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1125.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were, you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys radio show and stage left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standard set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, and we're here talking with Rick Tremonto. Rick is one of the most acclaimed chefs in America. One of his restaurants, his flagship restaurant in Chicago, is True. And we were talking just before the break about cell phones, but we were also talking about the experience we're trying to give the customer when they come to a really fine dining restaurant. One of the things that you write about a lot, and is in your press material a lot, is you talk about injecting a sense of fun into fine dining, sort of traditional French roots and then injecting a sense of fun. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, the old school guard, you know, back in the day when I was, you know, line cooking and growing up in the industry and traveling France and, you know, through the 70s, through the 80s, through the 90s, there's always this intimidation factor. I mean, I grew up really blue collar, upstate New York, Rochester, New York, and you know, I worked at Wendy's Old Fashioned Hamburgers, and I never graduated high school, never went to culinary school. We had very, you know, blue collar Italian family. You know, my grandfather was immigrated here from Naples. So my dad's side was Napolitan. My mom's side was from Abruzzi. You know, very humble people. So, you know, when you walk into a restaurant and there's, you know, four forks and three spoons and, you know, nine glasses on the table, it becomes very intimidating sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to use the wrong fork. Or I'm gonna, you know, and when you're walking into some of those environments, sometimes you just, the waiter or the captain, you know, can really set the pace and put you at ease based on how they approach the table, how they
or the opposite,
you, how they have some fun with you. Instead of, you know, coming up, you know, with this formal, you know, stiff. So I think a lot of it has to do with really trying to, and, you know, me and Gal would always joke, you know, we're not French. We don't pretend to be French. We're young Americans that have studied the culinary arts our whole life, you know, and we want our personality to not only come through on the plate, but to come through with service. How do you do that? Well, you have to adopt a culture, and you have to embrace your staff and give them the confidence and the trust and back them up to express that confidence. Now, you know, there's obviously always a line of how to read the table, is what we call it. If there's
and when we come back after the news, I want to talk about how to put customers at ease. Because, you know what, I'm a fireman's kid from North Jersey. First time I walked into a fine dining restaurant, I was looking for a job. And I got one. So and sounds like it's a great American success story, as there are a lot of great American success stories in restaurants. The chef is Rick Tremonto. The restaurant is True. We'll be talking with him more after the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Today we're joined by Chef Rick Tremonto. Rick is one of the most prominent chefs in America. He's also an author of several books. And he's cooked to great acclaim in New York and Europe and now in Chicago, where his flagship restaurant is True, where he's the chef partner. Rick, we were talking before the break about how sort of it's a defining part of your mission to put fun back into fine dining, to inject fun into fine dining. And that's, you know, you create this beautiful place, you create this beautiful thing, but when people walk in the door, you want to make them feel comfortable and get them to enjoy it. How do you do that? I mean, do you have any guiding principles you think that others don't? Any innovations?
Well, you know, again, it comes down to hospitality. You know, we're always trying to be hospitable in a way where it shows mine and Gail's, you know, personality, as far as, you know, we're not stiff people. We're fun. You know, you want people to relax. But we're very sensitive to reading the customer. If you're there on a business dinner and you know, you're trying to cut the deal, you know, you may not want to play with them so much. You may not want to hang around them so much. You know, you got to kind of read that table. If there's a first date going on, you know, compared to a 25th wedding anniversary that's going on, you know, where people are more comfortable. I mean, you got to feel good about reading your table, number one, but you also have to never, ever, you know, assume or talk down to people or, you know, kind of, you know, use your personality to break in, to find common ground, to talk to them about whether it's food, whether it's wine, whether it's kids, whether it's life, and engage. Or choose, you know, if they choose not to engage, then you kind of read them. But as far as having fun, you know, technical service is technical service. You need to be professional.
Right.
Things need to be technically flawless constantly. But there's no reason, because your technical skills are amazing, that you need to be rude or pompous or stuffy. So, you know, laugh, smile, have some fun. Work with the table.
In a Jennifer Iannola article that I was reading about, you were quoted as saying, you know, we're having a blast. Just share with us. Share that fun.
Share the blast.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that I think is very interesting is we have a couple of restaurants, and we do a lot of consulting, but we have a couple of restaurants that are on. We have a slightly more casual Italian-American concept than a fine dining American table service restaurant here in Jersey. And we've been here for 15 years, and one of the things that I think is so interesting, why people are drawn, one of the many reasons people are drawn to the restaurant business, is because it takes people who want to take a non-traditional path. Mm-hmm. And it lets a lot of people find a home. I think it was great. I mean, you're a very successful businessman. You're one of the most respected chefs in the country. And you didn't graduate high school, and you didn't go to college. It's still a profession where apprenticeship and learning by doing is viable.
What is it?
Absolutely.
What is it you think about this business that attracts non-traditional learners? Because obviously you're a very intelligent guy, and Patrick O'Connell from Inn at Little Washington, very intelligent guy. What do you think it is that attracts non-traditional learners to this business?
Well, it's that cross between art and science. I mean, you know, it's such a hands-on skill. I mean, you're learning anatomy by breaking down animals, and people are able to, you know, show you. It's really hard to do that in a surgeon's office.
Well,
you know, when you're
you're not allowed
full blown heart surgery. Here, let me show you how to take this.
And you're not allowed to cook things when you're in a doctor's office. You're not. That's
right. So I mean, I think there's a lot of fun stuff. You're using your hands. You're definitely learning, you know, butchering skills, and somebody's showing you hands on how to do that. There's the if I plate a roasted piece of salmon and you plate a roasted piece of salmon, the beautiful part of it is they're going to be different. They're going to, you know, everybody has a palate, everybody has an opinion, everybody kind of sees and tastes colors and flavors, you know, differently. There's so much creative ability that can and skills that go into that, like painting. If you know, if I give you a canvas and six paints, then you know you're going to paint something totally different than I am. But you know, and they're both going to be great because they're both going to be ours. So I mean, I love that about food. I love that about what people are trying to achieve with that. But then the flip side of it is, it really is very stimulating on the business side: food costs, labor costs, you know, leases and locations, and you know, there's that whole world of it. And there's, you know, the therapy. You know, I'm more of a, you know, I joke, I'm more of a therapist than anything. I mean, you know, you have so many personalities in the kitchen. You have so many dynamics that you're working with, so many cultures and walks of life. And you know, it just blows me away every day when I walk in and see people that are second career people that have made their money or have done certain things in their life, and now they're in a kitchen peeling carrots in the back of my kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, you know, I mean, how cool is that?
Passion
is just driven.
We have somebody like that working for us right now.
You know, I think that two things happen with, and one of the, I love dealing with all the customers. I love seeing so many different people in the course of a day. And I think that a lot of people have a lifestyle where they see the same 9, 12, 15 people every day. And in a restaurant, that's just not. I mean, you, between purveyors and employees and customers, wherever you are in the restaurant business,
hundreds of new people every day.
But one of the things that I think is interesting is there's a positive side to the type of person that's drawn to the restaurant business. Like, I remember that when Mark went to work for an insurance company, 5 days, Rick. He lasted 5 days.
It was 9 days. Just the problem was that three of them were Labor Day weekend. So.
And he sat in the cubicle and thought.
I was a statistician for an insurance company for 9 days.
And he said he sat in a cubicle and said, "It's just a cubicle, but I felt it was collapsing in on me." And so that was 5 days.
Nine days.
But you have the kind of person who needs to not be in an office and needs to be moving around. But I find there are also self-destructive types can come into a restaurant environment as well. And part of our job, and I'm sure part of your job, and I'm curious for your input on that, is to that's very energy that drives the best, fastest line cook. And a lot of people can go awry and just they can spin out of control because they're out at night, there's alcohol around, it's crazy energy.
Energy and emotion, too.
Do you find that the kitchen confidential sort of vibe is something that you need to battle?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, my story is, you know, it's hard to, we don't have enough time to go through it, but I mean, there's so much of that reeks in there. It's a refuge place for a lot of kids. It's a, you know, for me, I was, you know, my dad went to prison when I was young, so I was an only child, and I didn't graduate school, and it was the only place that I could go to that I could get a job. I mean, it was 1979. It was like I could be a garbage man. I could be a cook. I could be, you know, a drug addict. I could be a drug dealer. I could, you know, be a gas station attendant. I mean, you know, let's face it, guys, the choices were very slim at what direction I was going to go in. My life was really screwed up. The one thing that I knew is that I could cook, because in my culture, in my house where I was growing up, it was a very comforting place. So I think it draws a lot of those people to that, and you need to you're asking how to harness some of that energy and how to not let them spin out of control and go out all night, every night, and go crazy, because it's so easy and accessible to do that. Well, that's where some of the nurturing and the mentoring come in, where you have to, you know, you kind of got to wrap your arms around some of these guys and some of these gals and really kind of mentor them and say, you know what, this is a very lucrative business. You have a great opportunity here to be very successful in a creative field that pays really well these days, which back then, again, it was very blue collar. There was no celebrity chefs. There was no Food Network. There was none of that stuff.
You bring up a point that's pretty good, that I think is great. And one of my favorite things is we hire a lot of people who are 18, 19, 20 years old, and they work for us for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And you can really play a role in this. There's a lot of mentoring relationships that happen in the restaurant business. And I think
absolutely.
I think people look for a certain kind of closeness. It is different than any other business in that way. It's very visceral. Hey, listen, we're talking with Rick Tremonto of True Restaurant in Chicago. We're going to link you to his information and his restaurant through our website, restaurantguysradio.com. We'll be talking more with him in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1145. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants and also of The Restaurant Guys Radio Show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to restaurantguysradio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, back at the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Rick Tremonto of True Restaurant in Chicago.
So, Rick, I've had the good fortune of spending quite a lot of time in my restaurant working with my wife and your partners with your wife in your restaurant and have been for a real long time. How's that working out for you?
You didn't get the memo, huh? Me and Gail have been partners for 18 years we've been partners. We've been cooking together for 22 years. 5 years ago we split up, guys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't get the memo.
And I did not get the memo. But you know what? We have what we call the best divorce in the world because we remained partners. We have an awesome child together. We're both remarried, and we work together every day. We made a lifestyle choice a long time ago where. It was very difficult. You know, you work, you sleep, you breathe it. We did it for as long as we could, and we lost our marriage over our business.
I've actually been thinking about...
But one thing that stayed intact was our business and our friendship and our partnership, and the force that we had created in the industry was magic. And, it's not a negative thing. Unfortunately, it went the way it went, but we love each other, we're best friends, and we continue to do what we do. In the field.
That's incredible.
It is an incredible story that you're able to keep your business partnership together after all that.
I would divorce Mark if he were my wife.
Never throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we sacrificed everything, including our marriage, to do what we do. And, it's funny because both now our new spouses they're not in the business, and it's very different. And I can speak from both sides of the fence, the positives and the negatives, and it is very different. I commend anybody that A could do it for 18 years as long as me and Gail did it, but who can do it for a lifetime. It's very impressive.
So how do you mix all the things in your life? You got a couple of restaurants running, you got a whole bunch of huge projects in the hopper right now.
Yeah.
You do have a wife at home. How do you mix all that?
Balance. I'm very close with my pastor and my church. I don't want to use the word spiritual or religious, but I have a great faith in God. I love the Word of God. I love my teachings that I go to for my Bible study, and that to me is very important in my life. And I have three boys that definitely I look at every day and mentor and try to encourage in a world that's a very difficult place to maneuver in as a young teen, especially in these days, and growing up for us, the drugs and the alcohol and the restaurant business, and it was a different time in the 70s and 80s and 90s even, I have a 15-year-old, I have a 10-year-old, and an 11-year-old, and you know, it's very important that I stay grounded, I stay humble, and I try to work with them as much as I can with my schedule of, you know, I have another book coming out next year, I have two more restaurants coming out next year, and it's all about balance, and when you got a good home foundation of family and church and home and business, and you love what you do, and you stay out of the danger zones, the drugs, the alcohol, the infidelities, all the stuff that runs rampant in our industry, you need to stay focused. You need to stay grounded. You need to stay humble, and you continue your journey.
It's very difficult to do. So you say you're a religious man. Are you still praying for Charlie Trotter?
I am. Charlie's in my prayers every day.
That's good. Have you guys had a little battle over foie gras?
Well, let's say the press
had a little battle. Yeah. Well, you know, a couple of words can get blown out very, very quickly.
They absolutely can. You know, we've had a good laugh about it, of how, you know, boy, if Time magazine doesn't have anything else to write about but me and you, Charlie, you know, fighting about foie gras, you know, something's wrong, man.
And you're both on the side of that it should be legal. Just one of you chooses to reuse it in your restaurants, and one of you chooses not to.
Absolutely, and both of us, you know, it's good to disagree. You know, it's a positive argument when it's done in the right context, and you don't have writers trying to sell newspapers.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have actually, Mark and I don't have the fame that you have, Rick, but we're trying. And so I've sent out press releases saying that Mark and I disagree and hate each other. Nobody's writing anything.
It's not working.
Nobody cares. I try, but nobody cares.
Occasionally we'll curse out the other restaurants in our
later,
town.
I'll give you some PR tips on how to explode that nationally.
I really, really could use some help with that. Now, I just want to ask you, we only have a couple of minutes left in this segment, but I'm really curious about you. Do some work with Nestle, Sunkist, and some large companies. What do you bring to them? What do they want from you?
What do they want from me? They want ideas. They want passion. They want, like, Calphalon and Sunkist and Nestle's, and, you know, some of the endorsement deals and some of the big companies that I work with. You know, they seem to call me because, you know, a lot of these market researchers and a lot of these advertisers and a lot of these people, they start at the high level of cuisine, and they kind of try to help create things that'll trickle down to the supermarkets and into the homes. So, you know, if we can help in those areas, I'm all about that, because I'm all about trying to, you know, help people cook better food and more quality food at home, and not having to go out to the restaurants all the time. And believe me, that's somebody who owns, you know, 3-4 restaurants, and I love people to go out to the restaurants, don't get me wrong, but I also think that home and family and bringing people back to the table and at their home but cooking great stuff is very important.
I think that we agree 100%. We talk a lot. We talk with chefs and restaurateurs and bartenders and sommeliers and the like, but we also talk a lot with farmers and people who produce great food. And you know, great taste and great food is revolutionary. It's meant, whether it's home or in a restaurant, to be shared with people. And I think that's where we all agree, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I feel it's dying, and it breaks my heart, especially growing up the way I grew up. And I'm assuming a lot of your listeners grew up, you know, Sunday pasta, you know, and mm-hmm. and a family coming over, and holidays, and especially in for me, the Italian, you know, culture. I mean, there's so much that happens around the table other than arguing, screaming, and fighting. You know, it's a positive.
Yeah, but we can't ignore the arguing, and screaming, and fighting when it goes around the table.
We did design a whole restaurant around
because the Irish and the Italian have that in common. You just have better food. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Rick Tremonto of True in Chicago. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back at The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey, talking with Rick Tremonto of True Restaurant in Chicago. Rick, this is the last segment. It's very short. We only have a couple of minutes, but I read that you're doing now True is your flagship restaurant in Chicago. But I understand you're starting some things that you hope will go national and maybe become...
Yeah, you know, I've been very blessed to have some opportunities to do Tremonto Steakhouse in the fall in one of the northern suburbs, along with another osteria. I have a place called Osteria Via Stato, which means osteria on State Street downtown, and now I'm going to do Osteria di Tremonto, which is the osteria of Tremonto, and we're going to do two of those concepts in on the North Shore in Wheeling, Illinois, which is about 30 minutes north of the city. And I'm with a wonderful development company called Mid-America, which is a national development company that will has lots of locations, and we're going to kind of do a prototype and maybe do, you know, one in South Beach, one in Vegas, one in Atlanta, and do maybe five or six of them across the country. Because for me now, what is the next level for me? You know, I not that I don't really do a lot of television, but Gail has her show on the Food Network, and that's something that's never really interested me. I mean, I do a lot of television. I've done Oprah. I've done Today. I've done all that stuff, but it's not a passion. I love the restaurant business. I started in the restaurant business. So for me, it's about spreading the restaurant, spreading my food across the country, doing more books, doing more restaurants, and that's what's exciting to me.
And you squashed the rumors that you're leaving True.
Well, we're gonna do that right now.
Again.
You know, the funny thing was is that when the story broke, it was the same weekend that Trio, our first restaurant, was closing, and people kept thinking that Trio or True was closing, and it was really Trio because people still would associate with Trio. So there was this huge confusion in Chicago, especially of like True's closing, True's closing. No, 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 Trio's closing. It ran for 15 years. Henry Adanya, our partner, decided to move back to Hawaii. He sold all his stuff.
Rick.
And it became this huge thing.
Rick, we're coming to the end of the show. I want to thank you for taking the time to
talk
with us.
You've been spectacular, Rick. Thanks very much.
We're going to link up on our website if anybody wants to find out about go to a Cubs game, go visit Rick's restaurant in Chicago, or wait for them to open up around here. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, guys. You guys were a blast. I appreciate it.
It's been fun. Rick Tramonto, True Restaurant Chicago. Hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys. Central Jersey, 1450, and the time is 12 noon.